we present the News Quiz with your host, Santi Toksvig.
Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from The Telegraph, read by Harriet Cass.
Labour Party set to lurch to the left as Ed Miliband struggles to contain his number two.
And our thanks to G.K. Bernstein for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Sue Perkins and Paul Sinha. And opposite them on my left, Carrie Quinlan and Jeremy Hardy. Sue, have a listen to this. Sue, who's feeling hacked off this week?
Telephone? Hanging on the telephone and hacked off.
And that's a tricky one.
It's not gone very cryptic this week, has it? So this is the telephone hacking scandal, of course. Fabulous. Andy Coulson, of course, resigned last week, meaning there's only now one person in the entire government that can make David Cameron look good, Nick Clegg. And this is, of course, in the build-up to the possible imminent takeover of BSkyB by News Corp. So we've got an interesting situation where new accusations have come to light. So we know that Prescott's phone was bugged, we know Sienna Miller. I don't know if my phone's being bugged. I just now ring up Rupert Murdoch and say, any messages? Easier that way. And pressure is now on to resolve this issue, and Scotland Yard have said that they are going to conduct a robust inquiry, which if you now use the new coalition thesaurus means... Whatever. So I wait to see, and I sense a huge cover-up and a conspiracy, but I have been watching one too many box sets of 24.
I love 24.
So do I.
Jack Bauer.
Just whispers
Chloe.
Everything.
Chloe!
I'm just going to
help me, Chloe!
I'm just going to do this my way. Let me do this my way, God damn it.
I used to watch them in 24 hours.
I don't think that was the intention, really.
But it was great. We used to wait for the box set to come out and watch the whole lot in 24 hours, and by the end of it, no one trusted anyone else in the room. It was
So I want to know, Jeremy, have you had your phone hacked?
I didn't know that you could ring your own phone to get your messages. Being on the far left, I just naturally assume that everybody is following me all the time because we're all naturally paranoid. But no, I didn't know that they could do that, but apparently they can. They can ring your phone and get your messages and your thoughts.
I think somebody hacked into my Etch-a-Sketch, pretty sure.
But it's great that in the week when he's come over, Murdoch's come over to demand that his son... sells him the other bit of BSkyB on the cheap, that suddenly they're cleansing everything that's somewhat egregious about News International.
You're not saying they're connected.
How that would be a paranoid conspiracy theory.
Well, I quite like, because Alistair Campbell had this same paranoid conspiracy theory, and he said he'd called for the case to be transferred to another police force, saying that everyone involved should be replaced because they didn't examine the evidence carefully enough. And I thought, if he'd had that attitude in 2002, we could have saved ourselves a war.
What is it that so fascinates people about Sienna Miller? I mean, obviously we know about her role in the build-up to the Iraq war. But other than that, what is the fascination with her?
Well, that's the whole thing. She doesn't make you proud to be British, that Britain's best-selling newspaper had all this technology at hand. And instead of tapping major political figures, they went for Gaza, Sienna Miller and John Prescott. I mean, just shows what Julian Assange would do. Thank God he's not British. Because if Julian Assange was British, WikiLeaks would be very, very different. It'd be a series of exclusives about why Katie Price and Alex Reid don't get on.
I was very interested to see what the Sun's verdict was on all this phone hacking. And apparently it's an affront to the proper principles of journalism. According to Michelle, 32-24. The Metropolitan Police have reopened their investigation into claims of widespread phone hacking at the News of the World. It is thought that the News of the World staff could have contained a few rotten apples who were letting the side down by engaging in responsible and professional journalism. Paul, who has been left to analyse his own goal?
I think it's their own goal now. It's been a bit more updated. This is a game between Wolverhampton Wanderers and Liverpool. And what everybody's forgotten is Liverpool played brilliantly, won 3-0, and the Kenny Dalglish revival continues.
No, darling, but we haven't forgotten, we don't care.
But it's rather been overshadowed by the behaviour of ex-footballer Andy Gray and Sky Sports pundit Richard Keys.
Is he an ex-footballer?
Andy Gray, very much so.
He looks like he can hardly walk.
it was a long time ago, but he scored the winning goal in the 1980 League Cup final, and the second goal in the 1984 FA Cup
final. And then the chips came.
Yes, I'm a winner, yeah. And they made rather disparaging comments off-air about a woman called Sian Massey, who, full credit to her, has gone through the ranks and become one of Britain's top assistant referees, and they think it was a disgrace. They said that women don't understand the offside rule, and then kind of contradicted herself because she made a brilliant decision allowing Liverpool's first goal against Wolverhampton Wanderers, which they claimed was wrong, and it turned out that they were in the wrong and she was in the right. What I can't believe is anyone who looks at football could possibly believe that women are the problem with football. If you look at football, it's essentially run by male corrupt administrators who are enthralled to male multi-billionaires and who basically sell the soul of the game. And the game is now a bunch of male cheating divers doing that for 94 minutes whilst trying to avoid the abuse and missiles of male fans. And apparently women are the problem with football. And if anybody's wondering how I know it's males chucking the missiles, women can't throw, but that's another issue.
But they can punch.
They're both kind of going down fighting, trying to defend themselves by saying it was off mic. And Richard Keys described it as nothing more than lads mag banter.
If that was playful banter, then the News of the World is guilty of genial curiosity.
Richard Keys decided that he would apologise for his sexist and boorish behaviour by giving an interview on Talk Sport. It's a bit like apologising for being a raving bigot by writing a letter to the Telegraph.
What I love as well is Julia Keys, his wife, gave a statement. She said, "With men, there are little bits that never grow up." Which I think is oversharing. That may account for some of his more aggressive attitudes towards women.
But also, you understand about the football. This offside rule, they keep going, "Oh, women don't understand the offside rule." Okay, it's just not that complicated. When it was explained to me, I just went, "That's it? That's the whole of it?"
Well, this is the thing. It's true that most women don't understand the offside rule, but as you said, that's because most women don't care. That is not the same thing.
It's easy to understand the offside rule, but it's quite difficult to explain. It's a bit it's a bit like the female orgasm. It's impossible to describe, but you know when it happens.
Explain that. Because someone raises a flag.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Sky Sports have sacked pundit Andy Gray and presenter Richard Keys has resigned after they were caught making sexist comments about female referee Sian Massey. Is it Sian Massey?
Sian.
Sian Massey. I turned her into a boy, which makes the whole story pointless. On Monday, Gray had been issued a written warning giving him less than 24 hours to have it translated into a cave painting he could understand. 2 points to Paul. Carrie, what shrank in the cold?
That's the economy, isn't it?
It is.
We are heading towards a double-dip recession, which isn't nearly as ice-creamy and fun as it sounds. The economy shrank by 0.5% in the last quarter. No one knows what that means, least of all George Osborne, but he reckons it's to do with the weather. Because he's British. And that's just how we roll. He kept going on about how it was the weather, and someone pointed out that if you took the weather out as a factor, we would have just stagnated. There would have been no growth whatsoever. And he said, "Yes, well, that's the weather for you." So it was cold and people didn't shop, is essentially the government's argument, which is nonsense because it was cold and I shopped. I traipsed 3 miles through the snow to get a turkey last month. I forget why.
But thank goodness the weather is to blame, do you not think? And it's not that slew of cuts aimed at the poor brought in by the coalition.
No, they haven't kicked in yet. That's fine.
Oh,
it's all fine.
Fine.
It's just the weather.
Okay.
But no, I did. I traipsed 3 miles to Sainsbury's to get a turkey through a foot and a half of snow, dragged the turkey back in one of those old lady trolleys on wheels, which it turns out not really built for the snow. And I got home, and my mother couldn't even be bothered to be waiting at an upstairs window to throw me a shiny sixpence to make it feel all Christmassy and better.
But
Gideon has said, sorry, George has said that if all else fails, they can rely on Plan B. And I think, what's he going to do, a benefit?
I do think George Osborne does have a Plan B. The problem with the economy is that we never have charismatic Chancellor of the Exchequer. Going back to Geoffrey Howe, Nigel Lawson, Norman Lamont, Gordon Brown, if we had a lovable Chancellor of the Exchequer, it'd all be a lot more palatable. So I think Plan B is for George Osborne this year to go on Strictly Come Dancing. Because, as has been proved, it doesn't matter how odious your political beliefs are, if you can prove that you are absolutely awful at the cha-cha-cha, the nation will take you to their heart.
So, isn't it? It's so sick-making, isn't it? That somebody like Widdicombe, who was, bless her, she's a character, yeah, in the sense that it would be better if she were fictional.
Yeah. Did you see that there's a rat living outside number 11?
What are you going to do?
I know, that's so British. It's so British. Did you see that the guy who turned up, he had sort of tracksuit bottoms on and a Macintosh and a supermarket bag, and he was the rat catcher. How does it, well, surely pan pipes are needed and something a little bit more.
I'm not terribly worried about there being rats in Downing Street. When they start streaming out of Downing Street, then we're really in trouble.
I had to cancel a gig in Whitby because of the snow. That might have done something to do with the economic recovery.
That would have crashed everything.
Because I'd have made a bit more money and I might have bought a DVD for myself. So that's affected HMV's profits.
Let me get this straight. You're putting yourself at the heart of Britain's recovery programme. Well, so this is now Plan C, which is Jeremy leaves the house and buys stuff.
Chancellor George Osborne, just thought I'd remind you what he's supposed to be doing, blame the bad weather for the economy shrinking by 0.5% in the last quarter. Vince Cable bullishly defended the coalition from critics who claim that trying to eliminate the deficit in 4 years is going too far too fast. Critics like Vince Cable in April of last year. At 2 points to Carrie. And at the end of round one, the scores are Sue and Paul have got 4.5 points, but so too have Carrie and Jeremy. We start round two with an interesting offer from Nectar magazine.
Free health check offer. Your statutory tights are not affected.
And our thanks to Jeff Wright for sending us that. Sue, who has the freedom to enjoy a nice afternoon to Pims?
This is a rebrand. To Pims. There have been many successful rebrands over the years. Many things have changed. Opal Fruits have become Starburst. You've got Jif. It's become Thiff. London Spanish. And
the London Marathon is now the London Snickers.
Exactly. And Nick Clegg is now Norman Tebbit. So this is a rebranding of the former control measures. They're called control.
They were called control orders.
Control orders. And they've come up with TPIMS, which is terrorism. Prevention, protection.
I think it stands for control
terrorism
orders.
Yeah, same thing, but lighter.
It's terrorism prevention and investigation measures, otherwise known as I can't believe they're not control orders.
And curfews are now called arbitrary sleepovers.
Yeah. It's not catchy. And the thing about ASBOs is they're catchy, and you need a catchy acronym. So I've come up with some. You've got a terrorism universal restraint deterrence, or TERDS. Or terrorism watch assessment trials. You do the maths.
I quite like to... I don't know if you saw the actual announcement. Theresa May stood up and she told the House of Commons, for the foreseeable future, there is likely to be a small number of people who pose a real threat to our security, but who cannot currently be successfully prosecuted or deported. And I swear at that moment, all eyes turned to Michael Gove.
I think it is an elaborate campaign. I think it's an elaborate campaign to take everything Nick Clegg said before the general election and humiliate him afterwards by doing the exact opposite, as with student fees. And Nick Clegg is on record as saying that the Lib Dems would abolish control orders. And now, yet again, he's looking like a two-faced fool for going into Parliament and saying, actually, this is a really good thing. And his only excuse is, well, it's not control orders, it's TPIMS. And I don't know how far the rebranding will go. Will waterboarding be described as hydrotherapy surprise? will Guantanamo Baby rename the future's bright, the future's orange? I absolutely don't know how gullible they think the public are.
It's actually making it worse for Nick Clegg, don't you think? That they just sort of half reform it just to point up the fact that they're not reforming it, just to humiliate him even more. Do you think he leaves his house? I bet he is desperately trying to get under a control order so that he doesn't have to go anywhere.
The government has announced plans to replace control orders with TPIMS, Terrorism Prevention and Investigation Measures. TPIMS replace the current method of keeping an eye on suspects whereby undercover police marry them. With control orders gone, the list of things that the Lib Dems have successfully scrapped is as follows. Their principles. No, that's it, I've run out. Lib Dem MPs pointed out they'd won a big victory in stopping councils from using surveillance on people misusing their bins. A historic day.
These days you can't even recycle your cat, the world's gone mad.
2 points to Sue. Paul, have a listen to this.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise.
Paul, why might we not be able to see the wood for the lack of trees?
This is hot news from DEFRA, who basically in a revenue-making scheme have announced that they're going to sell off, or they're planning to sell off, British forestry to the private sector. 84% of the population oppose this, so obviously it's going to go through. On the plus side, they say that they're going to sell it only to private companies that have good aims. On the minus side, privatisation has never actually worked like that in the history of Great Britain. So we don't know exactly how this is going to work out. I'm a little bit worried. As a single gay man, that's a lot of cruising areas I'm going to lose.
You're worried about the deforestation of sex spots.
Absolutely.
They have stated that they're only going to sell them to people who are nice. Yeah. And I, for one, trust them.
I think we should all club together and buy Burnham Wood and then very slowly move towards Downing Street.
That is the most Radio 4 joke I have ever heard. That ticks every single box. I think we can safely say we're all aroused now.
They say that's what they're aiming for. They say it doesn't have to be huge corporations. Why, well-meaning individuals can get together.
As long as they have an absolute fortune with which to look after it.
Do you know that the first tranche of... This is absolutely true. The first tranche of forests, if they sell it off, is going to raise £100 million. Mm. That is exactly the amount of money that DEFRA and the brilliant Caroline Spellman, who's the Secretary of State in charge, gave to an international fund devoted to prevent deforestation. The government has outlined plans to sell off public forests in the biggest change in land ownership for more than 80 years. The Secretary of State in charge, Caroline Spellman, said that state control of forests dates back to the First World War when needs were very different. Yes, back then, things were run by a bunch of posh blokes who looked after themselves and let the plebs get massacred. How times have changed. And to be fair, the government are very interested in wood. I mean, they've got that plank Osborne running the economy. 2 points to Paul. Carrie, where can you walk the walk but not talk the talk?
Walking and talking in New York is now going to be banned.
On the
mobile phone.
Yeah.
Well, you won't be able to cross the road while speaking on your mobile phone after one or two people got run over when they were crossing the road on their mobile phone, missing out the crucial thing of looking. So joggers aren't going to be allowed to use their mobile phones. I think anyone who can jog and hold a conversation deserves to die.
I think it's very easy to get distracted by music when you're walking along. I think it's why I got kicked out of the marching band. It's been seen on YouTube, that woman who fell into the fountain while texting. Which is quite funny.
It's basically natural selection, isn't it, really?
She's now suing the shopping mall that it happened in for willful provision of a water feature. She came out dripping wet and she said, what if it were a senior citizen? Would it be funny then? Absolutely.
More so, if anything, yeah.
I was on a ghost train in Santa Barbara once, and as it went into the scary bit, this recorded voice says, please do not scream out of courtesy to your fellow passengers.
You ever been on the ET ride?
No.
Oh, it's fabulous. Has anyone been on the ET ride? You have to say your name when you go in, and then ET, when you come out the other end, it says goodbye to you. So all people front were going, you know, I'm Chad. And all the way up, goodbye, Chad. So I said wanker. It was absolutely... absolutely the best ride, because the whole thing, you're on the bike and you're flying through the air and all the music playing and, you know, the John Williams soundtrack and everything. You're just waiting with some unbridled anticipation and you just come out the other end and, oh, goodbye, wanker. I've shot that ride now. Apparently people were abusing the system.
No.
What's ET short for? Because he's only got tiny little legs.
New York State is attempting to pass a law banning people from using any electronic devices when they cross city roads.
Hearing aids, pacemaker.
Ah, yeah, that's really bad.
The electric car.
The proposed law follows a number of mobile phone-related accidents, including a 15-year-old girl who fell down an open manhole whilst texting. Fortunately, she befriended some teenage mutant ninja turtles who led her to safety. They are very distracting. I was playing Pac-Man on my mobile the other day and I completely failed to see this yellow blob coming down the street who tried to eat me. At the end of round two, the scores are Carrie and Jeremy have got 8.5 points, but Sue and Paul are in the lead with 9.5. Before we start round three, here is a cutting from the Daily Mirror.
Rats spotted in Downing Street. The rats are believed to have come from a bush at number 11, where Chancellor George Osborne lives.
Our thanks to everyone who sent us that. Sue, who's no longer the most popular girl in school?
This is the claim that parents are no longer sending their girls to single-sex schools. Mm. And they're preferring now to send them to mixed schools because that will prepare girls better for what life may throw at them. Because apparently, when one grows up, you don't play lacrosse every afternoon. You have to do things like mingle with boys and go to work. It's not just sitting around making daisy chains and eating crisps. But yeah, it's to basically inure girl children to the rigours of reality.
The offside rule.
Exactly. Well, if they go to a mixed school, they're going to be bullied. They're going to be sexually harassed.
Well, that never happened at my single-sex school.
Oh, man. Did it not?
Of course
I went to a Catholic mixed-sex school, and there's a reason they don't have many of those. My earliest memory, copping off with Anthony Simpson under a statue of our Virgin Mary.
No.
That is the dictionary definition of blasphemy. Yeah.
That's a very bad
I was
thing.
Seven. But I didn't know they litter the statues around. They put boys and girls together at a difficult age. Religious iconography...
Seven is not supposed to be a difficult age. I went to a fantastically traditional girls. We did do elocution and we did do, you know, that walking with a book on your head. And then we had tuition and talking to tradesmen.
What, you did classes on how to speak to real people?
My technique with the butcher is flawless. All girls' schools are declining in popularity amongst parents, according to the latest edition of the Good Schools Guide. In the past, girls and boys were always educated separately and would only see each other in the holidays when they'd team up to defeat smugglers.
Come on!
2 points to school. Paul, which place of rest is hoping to pool resources?
This is the council of the borough of Redditch, who've come up with a novel way of getting themselves into the national press, because they've decided to institute plans where they heat their swimming pool using the heat produced by the adjacent crematorium. The crematorium apparently produces masses of excess heat.
Yeah, why would that be?
Well, exactly. So what they're trying to do is renew this energy and save money. Funnily enough, this has caused some controversy. People think it's a little bit macabre. I thought it was, and I thought, actually, they're probably not doing a bad thing. If you take aspects of taste out of it, they are renewing energy, which is what we're meant to be doing, and people can have alternative cards should they die. Instead of an organ donor card, they can have a card saying, I would like to contribute to the British Olympic swimming team. My only problem with it is if I was in trouble in the deep end of a swimming pool, I'd like to think that the lifeguard at the swimming pool had my best interests at heart.
You don't think you'd ever hear anybody say her ashes have been used to heat the pool. It's what she would have wanted.
I wouldn't buy smoked salmon anywhere near a crematorium, though. Because you'd think that would be ideal, wouldn't you? The amount of smoke that goes up. You know you're late. When you see the smoke, you've missed it, basically. Mm. The miserable place is crematory. I tell you, if I get married again, I'm not going to get married in a crematory. Horrible place.
It was a miserable do, that, I have to say.
Redditch Borough Council in Worcestershire is proposing to save £14,000 a year by warming the pool at the new Abbey Stadium Sports Centre with heat from the crematorium incinerator next door. Council leader Carol Gandy said it will make no difference to the people who are using the crematorium for services, although due to a planning error, the water slide does pass through the chapel. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings. The teams have brought along Ms. Perkins.
This is in the obituary section of a paper in Shrewsbury. He was such an unassuming, quiet man, and indeed quite an adventurer, who had hidden his disability well. In fact, it took me several years to discover he had no legs and only one arm.
Mr. Sinha.
This is John Slaney from Matlock, who noticed the results of two pigeon shows held in Matlock. It was clearly very competitive. The young pigeon section, 25 pigeons were judged, and the winner was Mr. C. Gilliver. And in second place was Mr. C. Gilliver. And in third place was Mr. C. Gilliver. And in fourth place was Mr. C. Gilliver. So you imagine there's only one pigeon fancier in Matlock. In the old bird section, the winner was Mr. C. Gilliver. In second place was Mr. C. Gilliver. And in third place was Mr. G. Smedley, who is officially this week's Hero of the Week, I think.
Ms. Quinlan.
I've got this from Tim and Rosemary Venner from Chorley Wood. And Tim, in particular, says, when my father-in-law died recently, we were owed a refund from British Gas. The covering letter said, we're very sorry to see you go. If you want to come back, please let us know.
Mr. Hardy.
I don't know who sent this in. It's from the Courier and Advertiser, which I think is a Scottish newspaper because there's something about the SNP in it. And this bit says, Burrellton couple James and Marjorie Ower celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary. They wed in Cooper Angus on December the 7th, 1940, but bad weather meant their party for family and friends was held yesterday.
Let's take a look at the final score. Carrie and Jeremy have got 12.5 points, but this week's winners are Sue and Paul with 13.5. Before we leave you, here is a final cutting from the notice board of Berkeley Working Men's Club sent to us by Lynn Lewis from British Columbia in Canada.
Angling club memberships are now due. Women and children, £5. Adults, £10.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz with Sue Perkins, Paul Sinha, Carrie Quinlan and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair with Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield and Roderick Crooks, with additional material by James Kettle, John Hunter and Nathaniel Tapley. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.